Parshas Achodesh, the Navi Yecheskel tells of the korbanos that will be brought, Lasi Lavoi, on the assumption that the Beis Hamikdash will begin to function on Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Gemara has a machlokes in the first parish in Rosh Hashanah, a place of Bez and Rabbi Shua, whether the Tishrei Nivra Hoel or the Nissan Nivra Hoel. Gemara says the same machlokes applies when the Geula will be, whether the Nissan Nigel or the Nissan Asidim will be Goel, because the Nissan Nivra Hoel or no, the Tishrei Nivra Hoel and the Tishrei the Geula will take place. The Pasha Pshat is from this Hafferet, Geula, the Pasha Pshat and Geula means Dinyan Beis HaMikdash. The Pasha Pshat and Hafferet is that the beginning of Hakrovas HaKarbonos will begin on Rosh Chodesh Nissan. That's what it sounds like. The Gemara says the Ivne Yemas, the Gemara says in Sukkah, and the Gemara Roshana says Zecha Nezakeh made 9 Takonis. And one of the 9 Takonis is that Yom Hena is Kul Ayasa, the day of Kinnu Chazayim, you're not permitted to eat Chodosh and Gemara all day long. The Gemara asks why, but the Mishnah says in Menachas that after Chatzois it's Dover Borer that by Chatzois Hayayin in Yerushalayim time at noon, certainly in days in the Tatsum of Dover, by that time the Beis Nagoda will have already certainly taken care of Hakrova Sa'imer, so why shouldn't everybody be that's the way it always used to be? Why shouldn't it be Mutar Lasi Vavo Yefta Chatzois Hayayin? He not allowed to eat Chodosh all day long, and the phrase Nechalmai, because the Gzeir Meheri Bana Amigdosh, and when the Beis Amigdosh will be built, then it'll be also all day long. So you must say, why will it be also all day long? But the Mishnah says that his mantra Beis Amigdosh Ayikayam, those people who lived in Yerushalayim, they knew the Oino was already Chodosh, so as soon as they knew it was Chodosh, they were permitted to eat from the Chodosh. And those who lived in Harachaykim, those who lived far away from Yerushalayim, they didn't know whether the Yom is Karav or not, so they should tune into their radio there or call up by telephone. If they don't have a radio, a television, whatever, then Mechatzos Hayom, Yerushalayim time, is Biyodua that Ein Bez and Mitzatz from the Dover, that the Bez Nagar will have already certainly taken care of it, and you should know that the Yom is Karav already. So the Rambam in the Tirish Anashnais writes that Chatzos Hayom, Yerushalayim time is not necessarily Chatzos Hayom where you happen to be living, unless you live on the same, what do you call it? Longitude. The lines that go this way make what are called longitude. Okay. But if you live, the long way is longitude. But if you live in New York, then it's going to be 7 hours after Chatzos Hayom. 7 o'clock in the evening is going to be Chatzos, excuse me. 7 hours earlier. 5 o'clock in the morning will be Chatzos Hayom. So the Mutter to eat Chodosh at 5 o'clock in the morning on the first day of Halloween. So the Gemara asks this Kasha, why did Rabbi Yechon Nadakeh make a Takona make a Gzeir? That you're not allowed to eat Chodosh all day long because Meheri Bona HaMikdash, and when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, then it'll be also to eat the Chodosh all day long. The Gemara says it's not true. Bizman HaMikdash is Mutter after Chatzos Yerushalayim time. So why should it be that we're not allowed to eat all day long? So the Gemara says no. We're afraid that maybe the Beis HaMikdash will be built in such a way, Lasi Lavoi, that they won't have time to be mocked with the yoimer all day long, and they'll bring it, they'll make it just by the skin of their teeth and just before shkiyah. So therefore you're not allowed to eat Kodosh all day long in Yerushalayim time, till the end of the day in Yerushalayim. When the end of the day in Yerushalayim has come already, then you can eat Kodosh wherever you happen to live. So the Gemara asks, when? The Ibn Yemas, when is the Beis HaMikdash going to be built that there's going to be a problem? So the Gemara says, oh, it may be built on the first day Yontif. Beis HaMikdash may be built on the first day Yontif, and then it's going to be such a tumult in the Beis HaMikdash, they won't come to bring the Korban Oimer until a minute before the Shkia Yerushalayim time. The Rashi tells us this, how can you build a Beis HaMikdash on Yontif? The Beis HaMikdash is really built for Shabbos, not built for Yontif. So that's what Rashi tells us, quote, for the famous Medrash on the Pasuk Mikdash Hashem Karenu Yodecho, that the Bais HaShlishi will be built by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The reason why the Mishkan and the Bais Rishon and the Bais Sheni didn't last forever is because they were built for the Yodam. But we spoke in the beginning of Parshas Tikkudei. But the Bais HaShlish will be built today Shaman, that's why it's going to be a lasting Beis HaMikdash. Whatever it is, it's even not Gemara that there's a possibility of the Beis HaMikdash being built on the evening, the Bachameisar, on the 15th of Nisan, on the 16th of Nisan, on the 14th of Nisan. How can that be if the Pasuk says that you're going to start business and the Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? How can the Gemara discuss such a possibility? If the Navi says the Feirish, that the first day they're going to bring Karbonos is going to be on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Against the Gemara is against the Navi. Unless you say the Teretz is with the other Gemara. But the other Gemara says Benito Achishena. The Gemara says in the last parak in Sanhedrin that there are two possible zmanim for Bias HaMashiach. One is Benito and one is Achishena. If Zachu, if the Bnei Yisrael are Zoche, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hasten the Bias HaMashiach and the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. If Lo Zachu, and if we don't especially deserve it, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will wait to bring Mashiach and the Melech to build the Beis HaMikdash until the Benito, until he's good and ready. So Mishtami have to say the Machloek is Satarai would have been Nissen. Asidim lehigoyel obetishvi asidim lehigoyel. The machloek is when the beito is. When is the zman akavua? They don't know what year it's going to be, but they know what month the zman is going to be. One time holds that it's Nisan, one time holds that it's Tishvi. And that Gemara is speaking apparently about the possibility of Achishena. That's what the Shaitan points out. You say it to the other. You have to say like that. Otherwise, there's a contradiction between the two Gemara. How can one Tana say that the Tishrei has seen the Higoel, that the Beit HaMikdash is going to be built in Tishrei, and this Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai, it may be possibly built in Nisan. So he says, it means if Zachu, then Achishena, it may turn out that it will be built earlier. It really should have been built next Tishrei, next Tishrei, next Tishrei, who knows when. And Tishrei in 100 years from now. But because Zachu, it may turn out that it will be built on the first day Pesach. Well, that's the question. So what does he do with the Pesach? How can one Tana says that the Pasuk is not talking about an Achishena? The Pasuk is not in the Cheskel, it's talking about the Ito. It's Achishena, it's not going to be Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So what does he do with this Pasuk? He says the Pharisees that they're not going to bring any Kavanos until the first day of Rosh Chodesh Nisan. First day of Chodesh Nisan. I don't know. That's the Kasha. I don't know the
Terrors.
Okay. It'll take a long time. That the Tishrei Asim Higoyel means Mashiach will come. And it'll take 6 months to do. So something is wrong with one of our assumptions. We're making quite a few assumptions. We have to assume that one of the assumptions is incorrect. The Gemara Menachos says there's a big problem over here with these psukim in Yecheskel. The korbanos that are listed off here for Rosh Chodesh Nisan and for the weekdays and for Shabbosim and for Yom Tovim and for Sukkos do not correspond to the korbanos that it says in the Chumash. It's a complete contradiction from what it says here and what it says in the Chumash. So the Gemara says that they were thinking of Bikshu Ligno Sefer Yecheskel. They were thinking of being Geilezit. Because Shahar Yidvar says the Karbonot over here don't correspond to the Pesukim in the Chumash. And the Gemara has, and they finally decided not to be going to it, that they allow us to learn Sefer Yecheskel in Yeshiva University and other Yeshiva, if you still learn Haftarot and Sefer. Even learn this Haftarot, it's so difficult. The problematic Haftarot, we still learn this one. So what do you do tackle with this conflict, with the contradiction? So the Gemara presents two opinions. One opinion is, Mikra Zeh Osed Eliyahu Lidov. Well, you all know he's going to give the answer.
What does that mean?
The other Mandamani Gemara says that these are in addition to the Tamidim and Masafim that are described in the Chumash. This is for the purpose of Miluim. Just like in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, there were Shivas Yimei Miluim. Ubayon Mashmini, Amishmini Miluim, after the Shivas Yimei Miluim, then they brought the Chanukas Hanesiim, they had Miluim and they had Chanukah. So Lasi Lava is also going to be, there's going to be Miluim and there's going to be Chanukah, that's in addition to the Tmidim and Masafim. That's where Rashi points out in today's parasha. Sirachatos Darosh Darash Moshe Vehinei Sorach, which Sirachatos? So he says there was a Sori Rosh Chodesh and there was a Sori Nachshon. There were two different Sirim. Sori Nachshon was the Hayruach Shor, that was for the Chanukah Samigdosh, Chanukah Samishma. And Sori Rosh Chodesh was the regular din. And here also, the Gemara says, according to one opinion, that all of the psukim, all of the korbanos that are described in the Nevuas Yecheskel are the additional korbanos that are brought for the purpose of the Miluim or the Chanukah. And that was it's going to be a long celebration, starting from Rosh Chodesh, Nisan going through Sukkot. We're over here for you. The psukim described starts from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, goes through Sukkot. And the Malbim on the end of Yecheskel makes a whole arithmetic calculation, it's not the higher mathematics, simply an arithmetic calculation as to why it's going to be so long. How come in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu it was 7 days of Yimei Miluim, Shivas Yimei Miluim, and then says by Shlomo HaMelech, Shivas Yomim, Shivas Yomim. Shivas Yomim, the Gemara says, means that he celebrated Chanukas Habayis for 7 days, and then he celebrated Sukkot for 7 days. Somehow the Malbim interprets that, and the Gemara says, Eim Avin Simcha B'Simcha. The Gemara says, Mikan, that you have to use separate 7 days for Chanukas Hamikdosh, and a separate 7 days for Yom Tov Sukkot, because Eim Avin Simcha B'Simcha. So somehow the Malbim interprets, I don't know how he gets out of that Gemara, Malbim interprets that they celebrated for 14 days. He explained how come the days of Moshe Rabbeinu was 7 days, how come the days of Shlomo was 14 days, and how many days was it in the days of Ezra Nehemiah. So also has a Pesach Chiddush, how many days it was, and then he makes a whole computation why it's going to have to be 6.5 months, lost his love, starting from the Shvedish Nisan until the end of Sukkot. Whatever, that's the Toshet answer that the Gemara gives. That they'll bring Miluim and Chanukas Migdosh, in addition to the Zinim and Sachim, Kedar Shekriv will be made Moshe. What was the first dance of the Imam? Mikrazah Asad Eliyo, the Dorsha, so the Malbim interpret Pshat. Maybe it's Pashat Pshat Nimar, I don't know. He says that the Pshat is as follows, that there is a. What the Imam means to say is that Lashi Lover, the Dina HaTorah will change. Mikrazah Asad Eliyo, the Dorsha, when Eliyo Anavi comes, the Dina will change. The Rambam says that that's not so. The Rambam says that that's one of Yud Gimel Torah Emunah. He says, yeah, because the Rambam adopts the position of the second Mandam in the Gemara, who doesn't hold Mikrazah Asad El Yol Adarsha, but he rather holds Miluim, that they'll bring Miluim to the Afshay Kriv and Miluim in the name of Moshe Rabbeinu. And then he adds on that this dispute, the way he interprets it, whether the Dina HaTorah will change or not, is Mishitasam, is a Machlokes Amoraim, whether the Tabor will change. Because the Gemara says, on the pasuk of Gorzei Shekabes, the number in the yearbook, the pasuk in the beginning of Yeshaya, so the Rambam follows the opinion of those who say, Ein Ben Olam Azali Moshe Mashiach Alashibud Malchi Yis Bolvad. And all of the Sukkim that speak about Rishbati Chaya Rom in Ha'aretz, and with Gorzei Shekabes, everything is only a Moshel Amalitzon. The Rambam keeps some stress in that, and he says you should look in the Mishanah. He writes in his letters, look in the Mishanah, look in this one, look in that one. And they all explain that it's only a Moshel Amalitzon. And then there's another opinion in the Gemara that it's not so. Another opinion in Tanoim, that it's not so. Rishbati Chaya Rom in Ha'aretz means that the Zohar is going to change the Terah Ha'ilam. And you take the Pesukim, Kipshutam, and you don't say, Ein Bein Oilem Azeli Moshem Hashem 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 Hashem. So the Malbim claims that this is what she tells him, that the first one that says Mikra Asad El Yom Darsha only comes from 12 Yikori Amun. This one of the Yikori Amun that the Rambam says, Zot HaTorah Lo Asim Machlekes, the laws of the Torah will never change, he doesn't believe in that. He holds that the laws will change because the Teva will change. Everything is going to be different. Terach Hadashim Yiti Teitse, a new Torah, that's how the Medrash says. Terach Hadashim Yiti Teitse, it's going to be a new Torah. And the Rambam adopts the position of the second Mandama, that the Pesukim, the special Karbonas that we're referring to, are special, that's Noisaf on the Tzmidim and Musaf. In addition to the Tzmidim and Musaf, these are the Miluim or the Chanukah Samigdash. Goes in Chanukah Hamikdash. But then what's the difference between the first mandam and the second mandam? The second one says, Mugun Yakri, you could actually create Mugun, you may Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the second mandam that says Moshe. The first one says, Mikra Zahasad of Yahweh Darshan. So the question says, Mimara, that he says, I don't know Pshat, we don't know Pshat, but Yahweh, now he comes, he's going to tell us Pshat. That's what it sounds like. And the Baalman says, no, it doesn't mean that. Mikra Zahasad of Yahweh Darshan, he's going to change all the Dini HaTorah. Mimara Tamashiach, the Dini HaTorah will change. I think that's the Malbim's unique interpretation. That's what he says on his post. But Lechor, you can't say that it means the Miluim, because that's the next Mandam. That's exactly the Machlokes. The pasuk says in Parshas Tetzaveh and Shlishi that the eel has to have Hamon zahavri mon, Hamon zahavri mon al shalei hamilus abi b'hoyu alaham and l'sharis nishma kol b'vol al hakodesh b'fnei Hashem b'v'tzeisov v'lo yamus. That Aaron HaKohen has to wear the shemayin of the garden, and the eight, and then the eel is one of the shemayin of the garden, and the eel ha'eifah is one of the shemayin of the garden that the kengol has to wear, and he better wear these hamon zahavri mon in order to make noise v'nishma kol b'vol al hakodesh. It's for the purpose of making noise, these little bells, the hamon. The lo yamos, the nishma kol b'vol l'kodesh l'fnei Hashem v'vitei sov lo yamos. When is it? This is on Yom Kippur, when he goes the avoda l'fnei v'lefim, the lo yamos? No. On Yom Kippur he doesn't wear this when he goes in l'fnei v'lefim. So goes, when he does avoda the big day zov, on Yom Kippur? No. He does the avoda big day zov all year long. It's nothing special that he has to do on Yom Kippur with the Yilho Eichon. What does it mean? The nishma kol b'vol l'kodesh l'fnei Hashem v'vitei sov lo yamos. What does this mean?
What's kodesh? I mean, kodesh or kodesh?
I don't know. What does it mean? It can't. L'chora doesn't mean the kodesh hakadosh. Kodesh hakadosh doesn't wear right. Doesn't wear the shemayin of God. So it goes to the heichal. So what is he doing in the heichal that he has to wear dafka the tamon zahav rimon? Some of what it means is that if you wear a me'il without tamon zahav rimon, it's not a kosher beged. Let's say you have a meal and it's not made properly. So it's not a good meal. So it's not a good meal. So he's a mechusa begadim. Mechusa begadim is chai misa b'day shema. That's what it means. Even though you're wearing a meal, but if the meal is missing the palmon, the other rimon, you would have thought that if it's missing the palmonim or the rimonim on the bottom, so it is a meal, it's just, you're all dressed, you just don't have your tie on. So you're undressed? Yes, the answer is mechusa begadim, if you're missing the tie. So the tie is a separate beggar. What if you have the jacket, you're just missing the lapel of the jacket, you're missing one part of the... Something, let's say my daughter, my little baby, wears a sock with pom-poms. So what if the pom-pom rips off here? Pom-poms are over imam. So he's missing your imam. Missing the pom-pom. So it means it's not called socks and it's a mechus of the God. That's what it means. But what does it mean? V'hoi alam l'shonis v'nish makola b'vol l'kodesh v'lo yamus. When? What avoida does Aaron HaKohen have to do that the pasuk is speaking of? So the Farno comments on the pasuk in the end of Parshas Emor, the pasuk speaks about Aaron HaKohen being madlik the menorah. How does it say? Yichutz l'farosh ha'sayid is yomad yarach oso aharon yarach ha'boi to l'fnei Hashem tamid chukasalim l'zeretech. Why Aaron? Why did Aaron be madlik as Amanairo? And the same thing by the parsha of Ktoris, it says that Aaron has to be matzir the Ktoris. Why does Aaron have to be matzir the Ktoris and madlik the menorah? It's kosher b'kohen hedyo. So the Sforno comments on that pasuk that on Yom Kippur the pasuk requires that you have to have dafka kangaroo to do yavoido. He be onon eruah ala kapoiris. Doesn't even say that. The pasuk says, but it doesn't say that that's the reason why I need a kengol. That's what he claims. The Sforno claims that the reason why I need a kengol to do the avodah on Yom Kippur is because he be on an eruah ala kapoiris, so therefore there's a special higher level of dusha. And the Kodesh HaKadosh says there's an onon, so therefore the avodah requires dafke kengol. So what happens if you would have a matzav that there would be an onon in the heichal? So then you would need a kengol to do haktoris and Hadlafish Amanar. So the Sforno claims that's what it was all 40 years in the Midbar. The last pasuk in Pikuda says, "Ki'anan Hashem al Amishkan Yomim Veishtei Laila Bo Leini Kol Beis Yisrael B'chol Maaseihem." For 40 years, all the time there was an onan al Amishkan. So since there was an onan al Amishkan, the Mishkan means the Heichal, not in the Azor. The Mishkan means the Heichal. So therefore, all the avodas that were done in the Heichal, meaning the Haktoris Haktoris every day, Hadlokas Samaner every day, require Dafke Kangal. Yeah. I think so. I think it says that he did the Lechem HaKohen. I think so. So Mishkan, that's how you have to read the pasuk over here. V'hoya l'aharon m'shareis. Aaron has to wear the Shemayin of the Godin, including in the eel, and the pamonim and the pamonim and remainim on the yachiv in the meal. If he's missing one pam pam, then The lo yamut, and he's called the mechus of the garden, because the beggar is missing the pamreinim and it's leipuga, and then it's mitzvah b'dei shamayim like a mechus of the garden mishashimish. I don't know what the deal is. But l'chora, that pasuk in Tetzaveh is not speaking about Yom Kippur. I don't know the details. L'chora, you see that the pasuk is speaking about Nishmakol b'vol. Well, HaKodesh doesn't refer to Kodesh HaKodesh, it refers to the Heichol. Why does Aaron have to go into the Heichol? According to the Sfarna, we understand very well that all the Avodas in the Midbar for all 40 years, he said. That's the Sfarna at the end of Emor, and the Sfarna at the end of Chumash, and the last pasuk in Tikkudim, and the last pasuk in Shmos. So if you look in the Haftarah of Parshas HaKodesh, the pasuk speaks about the Nazis bringing these korbanot. The Nazi is going to bring the korbanot. Who is this Nazi? Rashi and the pasuk has two interpretations. Whether the Nazi, Rashi and the pasuk, whether the Nazi is referring to the Kohen Gadol, or the Nazi is referring to the Melech. If it refers to the Kohen Gadol, it means that he does the Avodah. For some reason or another, the Kohen Gadol has to do the Avodah like on Yom Kippur. If it refers to the Melech, the Melech is just the mouth of the Gadol. He's not going to be a Kohen. He's going to be from Shevet Yehuda. What's the Melech doing bringing the Korbanos? And the Torah means that he'll pay for the Korbanos. He'll fund the Korbanos. He'll be the Bala Korban. He'll be mocked with the Korbanos. Three things we learn. If you learn that the Pshat is that the Kohen Gadol does the Avodah like the one interpretation that Rashi has on the Gemara Sicheska, why should you need a Kohen Gadol? So the Sfarno, if you put the two Sfarnos together, he said why. And that Pasuk at the end of Chumash Shmos, on the last Pasuk in Pikuda, he says that during the Kufa of the Midbar, the Arnon was on the Heichol all 40 years. And that's why they needed a Kohen Gadol for Avodah HaHeichol, for the Haftarah HaTeret, and Lav Tamnere, and putting on the Lechem HaPanim Stone all 40 years. But in the Bais Rishon they didn't have it, and Bais Sheni they certainly didn't have it. Bais Rishon had the first day. It was in Smalei Abayis Oshan, then it went away. Bais Sheni they didn't have any of this. But the Bais HaShlishi, he says it'll be the same as it was in the Mishkan and the Midbar, and even more. And he quotes Psukim, which he interprets to imply like that. Psukim from Navi, which he interprets like that. But Losi Lavar, there will be the same Onan, but even more Gilui Shechina than it was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So if you put two and two together, if you say that Losi Lavar, the Bais HaShlishi, is going to have the same Matzav as the Mishkan had, but more so. And the other Sfarno in Parshas Emor says that the reason why I needed a Kohen Gadol all 40 years in Avodah HaHeichol is because whenever you have an Onan, then you understand the Pshat and Rashi very well. Why Rashi says on the Haftarah in the end of Yecheskel, and this Haftarah is Parshas HaChodesh, that the Avodas will have to be done by a Kohen Gadol, because there's going to be an honor. So of course you're going to have the Kohen Gadol. You're going to have a lot of work to do.
Inside.
Some of the Avodas will be outside, and I think a lot of them are going to be inside the Heichol. You have to go through the Pesukim. A lot of these Avodas are in the Heichol. They're not all outside. So those that are going to be inside, the Torah will have to be done by Kohen Gadol. If you assume like if the Sfarno was right. Who is this Sfarno? Who did he learn by? He's an Italian. I don't know. The Bali Musa likes him, he used to like to look in the Sfarno because he has Musa Digazak. But sometimes when he has Halacha. No? In the end of the first parak in Kiddushin comments on the Rav of Gochan, Chol Holech Al Gochan in Parsha Shmini, that the Rav of Gochan, that's in the last Ali, in Shvi, in Parsha Shmini. In Shvi, in Shmini, there's a passage that says, Kol Halech Al Gochon, with a big Vav, that says, Vav de Gochon, Chatzi Hater Ba'oisiyas, Vahavav Rabasi. What do you mean that it's Chatzi Hater Ba'oisiyas? That's the middle of the Sefer Torah. So what does it mean? That there's an odd number of letters in the Sefer Torah, and Vav is the middle letter, so the Gemara says wrong. That there's an even number of letters in the Sefer Torah. The Gemara is not sure whether the Vav is the last letter of the first half or the first letter of the second half. The Gemara says, we don't remember. But it's an even number of letters. How do they know? According to the Masorah, how many letters are there? Does it say here? So the Gemara is Akasha. Let's take a state of current Kantira. So the Gemara says, Anan Ladikina and Bechaser is Yisrael. According to the Masorah here, does it tell you how many letters there are? Minyan Ha'is Yeshok. Minyan Ha'is Yeshok Kala Terev. There's 304,805. That's against the Gemara. It's clearly against the Gemara. It's wrong. Because the Gemara says that it's an even number of letters. On the last page in Zayis HaBrocha. That's clearly against the Gemara. So that's wrong. Someone made it up. They just took all the things, they added them all up, and they wrote it up. It's wrong. That's not from the Masorah. In the Kabbalah Svarim, it says, we quote from Israel, it says, Yisrael is the Rosh HaTavis, Yei Shish, and Yibo, Osi, Yos, Matavis. There's 600,000 letters. That doesn't correspond at all to what it says here. Here it says that there are much less letters. Hmm? 304,000, Dash Alofen, 304,805. And according to the Kabbalah Svarim, according to the Zohar, it's supposed to be 600,000. Twice as many. 304,000 as opposed to 600,000. Twice as many. That's a big problem. So there are different suggestions are given. They give different mahal. They say that the Ramchal said that there are some atheists in the Sefer Torah. Let's say the letter Mem. The letter Mem is written as a Chof. How do you write a Mem? A Chof and a Vav. A Mem and a Vav. So that counts as two atheists. And then you have a letter Aleph is a Gimel and a Yud, I think. So that counts as thing. This is a Nun and a Vav. Every time you have a double a letter that has two letters in it, so that counted as two. That's one Mahalach. Tzadik is also like you have two letters together. You have to check to see if that's correct. And others say, they say in the name of Rav Kook, that it said in, that he quoted in Kabbalah from, it says that you have to have Ben Ois Liyari, and between one word and the other, you have to have Kimlo Os Kano. You have to have the amount of space to write the tiny letter Yud. Kimlo Os Kano. So you have to count the empty spaces also counts. In between one letter and the other is Kukut HaSaira, as long as it's not touched. As long as it's Mukta Zvila Masha. But in between one word and the other, you have to have Kimlo Os Kano. So that counts as an extra letter Yud, even though it's not written. And every time you have a Psuch or a Stuma, you have to have a minimum, the Rambam says you have to have a minimum space. No? Enough space to write nine letters. So you have to count every psuch and stuma has to be, you count as nine letters. If you add them all up, that's what he claims. It will come out exactly to be correct. Okay. Whatever it is, they're different mouth. But it's written in the Gemara, so it's printed in the Chumash is not correct. But it's not going to be an odd number of letters, it's going to be an even number of letters. Either Yeshi Shemigo, here's like, some other number, whatever it is. And, that's how they say in the Chassidish Svarim. It says, why is Yesh Shishim Ribo Osi Os Latar? Because there are Shishim Ribo Jews, and every Jew has a chelik in the Torah. So the question is, what about the Gerim? Different. This is a different number. Minyan Osi Yesh Okol Torah Da Shalot from the Tav Tav Stama. Or Tav Tav Mem. Oh. What did mine say? Mine is just a misprint, you mean? It has the same gematria. Eretz Ebo. Eretz Ebo. How do you figure out what's the gematria of Eretz Ebo? Eretz Ebo, we called them Hashem Galiya, one of my staff. Okay. I don't know. Got to figure out what it's in. I don't know. We have the same pasuk, but I don't know what it means. Significance of what?
Knowing that this
middle letter is the same color. I don't know. So Mechsidish is wrong. They say that why Yeshishim Yerushalayim Satarta demonstrates that every Jew has a chelik in Torah. What about the Gerim? They're a Gerim. They're not included in the Shishim Ribo. So the answer is, for the Gerim, their chelik is in the Tagim. And that's why Rabbi Akiva, who was from Mishpachas Gerim, used to darshan akol koit v'koit tila tilim shal alosh. It says in the Pasuk, Hager Hashem v'kibu chol yal alecha maila mosa v'ata teire v'ata teire Hager Hashem v'kibu chol yal alecha maila mola v'ata teire v'mata mosa. The Gerim will be on top. You will be on bottom. Here his chelik is in the tagim, on top of the letters. And your chelik will be in the yaisi, on the bottom. That's what it says in some of the Hasidish one. Yeah, what the Gemara says over here, why don't you nicely say the Torah of Nefesh? Why don't you take out of the Torah of Council Letters and we'll see whether the Rav of Gachan is the end of the first half or the beginning of the second half on the assumption that it's an even number of letters. So the Gemara says, no, not like the Kino and the Hasidish, he says. He said, our Sifrei Torah are in error. We have a lot of words that are molly that should really be chasal, a lot of words that are chasal that should really be molly. So all of our Sifrei Torah should be chasal. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch says. No, they're not chasal. Apparently, molly and chasal doesn't chasal. As long as it's the correct spelling, aharon. Aleph hei reish vav nun. Aharon can be spelled molly and can be spelled chasal. I have a little boy. His name is Aharon Yishai. So my daughter in Eretz Yisrael got in my yarmulke that has aharon molly. And so they write everything molly. Today. They write the newspapers every time they write Molly, then you should be able to, because it has no Nakudas. They write everything Molly, it should be easier to read. So the Minchas Chinuch says, if you misspell a word, or it's supposed to be a Molly, it's supposed to be a Kriyaksiv, and you wrote it the way the Kriya is, so then it's considered misspelling. But if you write something Molly, there should have been Chasa, Chasa, there should have been Molly, and it's not a Kriyaksiv, so then he claims it to the evidence question. That's what other parts from Holden call. As long as there's no misspelling. That's what he and others say about Petsua Dakwa. There's a suffix where Petsua Dakwa is supposed to be spelled with an Aleph or a Hey. So half of the Sifrei Torah in the world have an Aleph, half of a Hey. So obviously half of the Sifrei Torah are possible. The answer is no. Either way is a correct spelling. It's not that it's incorrect. The only thing is that it's not according to the Maaser. You should really check correctly. So we don't know which is the more correct. So whatever you have is kosher anyway. It's not, it's like if you have Molly instead of Kosher, Kosher instead of Molly. You should really change it, but you don't know which what's supposed to be Molly, what's supposed to be Chasa. So you leave everything the way it is, all the Sifrei Torah. That's why there are more rights in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, that if in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah you find that there's a mistake in the Sefer Torah, you have to put it away and take out another Sefer Torah and continue to learn from the Kosher Sefer Torah. Unless you have a mistake in Molly and Chasa, you have a Haron spelled Molly where the holiday is not supposed to be Molly. But then he says you don't take out another Sefer Torah because Anan Lo Dikin and Bachasera Kisa. So what do you mean Anan Lo Dikin? But all the Sefer Torah have a Kosher here. We all have his Molly, this one has his Chasa. But the answer is, you see from that Gemara, there are moments you see from that Gemara that Molly and Chasa doesn't pass through the Yemen. So it's a kosher Sefer Torah. Aye, but the other one is more kosher. It's kosher with the Hidurim, that it doesn't have it written not according to the Master. So he says, well, we're not so sure. I'm not Lo Bikinu. We're not so sure whether the other one is more correct. Maybe this one is more correct than the other. So you leave it the way. That's what the Ramah says. No, exactly, should correct it, but you don't take out another one in the middle of the Kriyas HaTorah. Mishnah Berurah reports the Achrayim who don't accept that Ramah. They say that it's not so, that if you have a Sefer Torah in the middle of the lane and you see that it has a Molly or a Chasa where it doesn't belong, that according to all of our Svarim, it doesn't belong, so then you do take out another thing. Shadow, whether you should follow the Ramah or not. Others hold not like the Ramah. Others, those who disagree, they say you should take out another Sefer because Molly and Chasa does pass. If Molly and Chasa pass, so how can we lay Kriyas HaTorah? So Shagas Arya says, well, Kriyas HaTorah is only Tachanat the Rabbanu, Mishgatah. Shaila is though, Bracha. He says, they were misakin it. The people who were misakin Kriyas HaTorah knew already that they weren't Baki Bachatir. So they were misakin it like that. Aye, but what about Tfilin? The people who are mistaken Tfilin were the Rabbanu Shalom Mechorot Eliyatzmo. So what do you do with Tfilin? You should have to put up 25 mezuzahs on you do it. Every Molly Chasa, you should have another mezuzah to make sure. So the Shagas Arya asked that kasha. He says the reason, he talks about how come the practice is that people are not medaktik to fulfill the mitzvah of Tzivah Sefer Torah. He didn't live in the 20th century. Every other week someone else was making a Tzivah Sefer Torah. So he asked, the Shagas Arya asked, how come people are not medaktik to make a Tzivah Sefer Torah? So he says, because even if you write a Sefer Torah, it may not be Yotze, because it may be possible because of Chaseres Tzivah Sefer Torah. Then he says, so how do we learn Kriyas HaTorah? So he says, the Chachamim who are mistaken Kriyas HaTorah already had the Sefer Torah that were not Baki Bachaseres Tzivah Sefer Torah. So that's what they are mistaken to learn from that Sefer Torah, the way it is now, Shagas. I worked with the Tzivah and the Mezuzah. Why don't you have to put on 25 pairs of Tzivah every day to make sure you have all the Chaseres Tzivah Sefer Torah? So he says, that's only four parshas. So we maintain the Masorah on those four parshas. We know for sure. No mistakes there. It's very questionable. The Tesis already has theories. Tesis has Molly Chosin, Mizuzas, Mizuzos, and Sanhedrin, no? There are problems in the Molly and the Chosin, and the Davos parshas of the Tzilin also. So the Shagas Arya says, no, that we have preserved the Masorah on the Tzilin, the Mizuzah parshas, we preserve the Masorah. It's just the rest of the 1001 parshas in the same Torah that we're not too sure. Often you say after laying from a few sefer teret to make sure, wow, you'll need the 5,000 sefer teret. Every morning in Karpi you're going to have to, I don't know. That's the problem. The Moshe Soloveitchik had a different interpretation in that Gemara. He said that he didn't think that the Gemara meant that's not the way anybody takes it though. He thought that the Gemara didn't mean to say Anan lo bikinam achaseres v'sheres that our sefer teret are all the kuyim, that they all have errors in morning in chaser. And therefore, even if we'll take out a sefer Torah and we'll start counting, we won't be able to figure out whether the Vav HaGochen is the end of the first half or the beginning of the second half. He said, no. If you'll take it out and you'll count, you'll be able to ascertain. But what's the significance of knowing that Vav HaGochen is the middle? So he said, you have a Masorah. So that was part of the Masorah. So if the Masorah was lost, we still maintain the Masorah that Vav is the middle, either the end of the first half or the beginning of the second half. That part of the Masorah we have maintained. Printed. Vav HaGochen Chatzi HaTorah Ba'isi. The Vav is a Rabbasi, that you should remember, that it's Chatzi HaTorah Ba'isi. The question is, but the other half of the Masorah has been lost, whether the Vav is the last letter of the first half of the Sefer Torah, the first letter of the second half. So let's take out a Sefer Torah and reconstruct the Masorah. So Rosh Hashanah, she said, you can't reconstruct the Masorah. If you reconstruct it, you'll figure out what it is, but then it won't be called a Masorah. Ish Mifi Yishad Moshe Rabbein. So then it's just going to be believe it or not. So what do we need that for? We have enough believe it or not. What do you need to reconstruct it for? He said, that's what it meant in the Gemara. He said, we haven't maintained the Masorah as to whether the Vav is the end of the first half or the beginning of the second half. So what are we going to accomplish by reconstructing it archaeologically, by counting up the letters? If you reconstruct what the Masorah was archaeologically, they're learning from Masorah. It's not Masorah, what do you need it for? Because it's totally irrelevant. If you want to reconstruct the Halacha by archaeology, so you want to dig up a mikveh that Rabbi Akiva's wife used to use, and you're going to see exactly that that's good. So obviously that's called Arboim Shor, because it's going to prove one thing or another. You're going to find the tefillin that Moshe Rabbeinu wore, you're going to figure out what the din of tefillin is, how it's supposed to be. You're going to find the tzitzis of the Nathan Midbar. The Gemara says in Baba Batsa, Rabbi Baba Hanna was traveling in the Midbar, and an Arab was showing him all the sites. He was Bekerach Vadasa, got swallowed up in the ground, and this is this, and this is that, and here are the Nathan Midbar, here they are. When he came back to the yeshiva and he told all the people in the yeshiva that he had a guided tour of all the things in the mitzvah, so he asked him, hey, why don't you check the tzitzis and see how many strings there were, because it's machlokes neshama and yisurim, where he's supposed to have three strings made into six, or four strings made into eight, and he followed the neshama, four strings made into eight. So he asked him, did you check the tzitzis to see which way? So he said, no, it didn't occur to him. So he said, what a moron, what an idiot. You had an opportunity to find out what the din was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, you didn't look. So obviously, if you have archaeological information and you can find out what the size of the mikveh is supposed to be, unless you can assume that the earth shrank, it's katan shiur, the earth shrank, or the hole got bigger, the hole got smaller, whatever. But if it's not a proof, it's not a proof. If it's possible that some of the strings disappeared, or some more strings grew over the... if it's not a proof, it's not a proof. But if you have an ironclad archaeological proof, then you see it in the Gemara, that it's a mikveh to run, to find out what it is, and the person who closes his eyes to the archaeological information is a moron. It's a tittish, and they called Rabbi Baruch Hanasol in the yeshiva. They called him a shaita. Why he didn't try to see? So obviously there's a difference, but that's if you're reconstructing what a halakha is. So halakha will take from a goy, from an Arab, from anybody. The Mishnais have that there was a weaver who gave the Chachamim halakha, and there was this guy and that guy. They got halakha from anybody, from the son, from the star. Anybody has halakha to say, we'll accept it and we'll check to see if it makes sense. If the son and the star is going to tell us something crazy, then we don't accept it. But if we'll discover something that makes sense, we'll accept it. But to reconstruct the Masorah, it's irrelevant anyway. My nafkamina la halacha, whether the Vav of Gochen is the last letter in the first half or the first letter in the second half. But kachnema masur, we have such a masur that kacha. So if you had to have the masur, if you have the masur, it's good. If the masur has been lost and you're going to reconstruct it by sitting and counting, that won't be called a masur. We don't need it anyway. We don't need it anyway. That's how he interpreted the Gemara. It doesn't really fit into the Lashon HaGemara. But it says, Anan lo bikin or bachaseris yisa. How does that fit into the word of the Gemara? Anan lo bikin or bachaseris yisa. The Gemara should say, "Hal v'nishtakcha nishtakcha v'lamikri maser." Then let the Gemara say the way he said. It doesn't say that in the Gemara.
When
I don't know. What if he can reconstruct archaeologically how many tzitzis he's supposed to have, the size of a mikveh, what kind of tefillin? So everybody says that it's good. That's what the Achronim called that. They found tefillin in the Kevah Yechezkel HaNovi, and it was like Rabbeinu Tam. So they wanted to bring a raya that the Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin on the Mokireh.
And then the other Chachamim said, no. Why do you think they put it in Shainer? Because it was possible. But you see that if it would have been a good Haichache, if it would have been a good Haichache, then it would have accepted it, just that they were not sure. Like if you find Sitzit that has a six string that doesn't prove anything, maybe the extra two strings get ripped off over the generation. If I find Sitzit with eight strings, maybe it grew two strings. Maybe someone slipped in another two strings. If you haven't something, what the archaeology is proving to you, so of course it doesn't prove anything, you're not sure. But if you have an ironclad proof, but that's what they did, so obviously that's a good Aichach. The Beis HaLevi at the said master, that's what we don't really understand. The Beis HaLevi said against the Ravina Reder, when he reconstructed what the Chalazin was, and he encouraged his Hasidim to dye the Tzitzis Chelas, or the color of Chelas. So the many Rabbanim were Ma'arer against him. And it wasn't accepted, only the Ravina Hasidim used the Chelas. No one else uses the Chelas. It wasn't generally accepted that he was right. So the Beis HaLevi had a different angle, a different twist. He said that, and he sent him a letter and he printed it. The Ravina Reder printed all the letters of those who opposed him, and then he printed three books on the Tzitzis, Shloshes Sitat Tzitzis. And then they were available all together, Shloshes Sitat Tzitzis, three separate books. Einat Tzitzis. So he prints the letter that the Beis HaLevi sent him, and he writes his response. And the Beis HaLevi timed it against him, that since the Masorah was lost, what the Chalazin is, he can't reconstruct the Masorah based on archaeology. Why not? You see from the Gemara that it's not so by Rabbi Bar Mochana, that you do. And you see from all the Achronim, the way they're discussing by the Tzumim that they found in Tevye, Pesach, and Navi, that if there wouldn't be some hitch over here, if you'd be able to know Bivadoris, that these were the Tzumim that Yecheskel and Navi wore, then you would assume that the Tzumim that Rabbi Natan is incorrect there. So. Only that we're not sure, it could be they were put in shame, it's because they were puzzled. Not because they were in the wrong way. The Tiyapi Pash is not like the Beis HaLevi. Very sure of what you can't reconstruct the Masor. So it won't be called a Masor, but you'll reconstruct what the facts are. They'll dig up the base medicine and we'll see he has the Hastir Mene Bay. Someone will dig here, they won't dig there, so they'll light the point.
Could be what the Beis HaLevi claimed in that Gemara, is that what they were saying, by the fact they were saying, oh, maybe it was changing, what they're really saying is, he's not around it, that's fine, that was the fact that we're determining.
But if you would be able to reconstruct it, then you see from the Gemara that it is true.
You never know.
Could be, I don't think that's what he said though. I think he said a halachic argument. You're saying a common sense argument. How do you know? Maybe there's a flaw in the calculation. I think that's what he said. I think he said that it has to be Sadin and Masorah has to be Yishin to Yishin, Moshe Rabbein. And that's what Rav Soloveitchik said also about the rice, that there's a machlokes in the Rishonim with the Oiris. The Gemara says that on Oiris you say Barim in Mizainis and you say Barim Foshis at the end. But there's a machlokes in the Rishonim whether Oiris is rice or Berchen is rice. The machlokes, so some say that you don't know what bracha to say on rice, so you say Shahapah. And others say, but now we know that's the Puerto Rican in the street. How do you say right? That's Oiris. Hello? Everybody knows today. Yes, in Arab, everybody knows that Oiris is right. But now that we've reconstructed what the word really means, we've dug up the Puerto Rican. An archaeological discovery over here. So we should all know that Oiris, that's what the Roman Goyim said. Oiris is right. Yes, in Arab, and yes, Puerto Rican, and everybody knows that. That's what the Roman Goyim said. And they say to the Beis HaLevi, no, since the Maser Ishim Piyish Ad Chachmei HaGemara has been broken, so therefore we don't know what the Pirush HaMilus is, even if you'll figure it out based on a dictionary, no good. The Chassam is enough. Why? You're not allowed to use a dictionary. You're not allowed to use Jasper. Learn the boy Jasper. Jasper was an Apikaris. Learn the boy Jasper. You're not allowed to use even Afruma. Even if the Aguda will put out Afruma dictionary, you're not allowed to use. Very strange. So eventually you can interpret that Gemara like that. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, "Lahaviyadi Rabbanu my Chalad Lugas." The Chachamim, the Talmid Yeshiva, didn't know what the word Chalad Lugas was. It's a vegetable that's mentioned in Mishnayos in different places. Until one day they heard Amtsa B'day Rebbe. They heard Rebbe's maid was speaking to one of the other. He was speaking to somebody, and she said, why are you throwing your chalav lugas all over the place? Oh, so they realized that that vegetable that's called chalav lugas. Many Muslims, they didn't know that Haviyad Rabbanon, what this word meant, didn't know what that word meant. Until, so that's what Rashi said. Why don't you take a jastro and look it up and find out what it meant? She's in the Gemara, you're not allowed to use a jastro, because that's not the Masoira. It has to be a Masoira. It's the way they get Masoira from Amsterdam. That's called a Masoira. And then the Gemara says another story, they didn't know what Yehov is. The Haviyad Rabbanon, my hashlach al Hashem Yehov kavuri yichal, so I didn't know what Yehov meant. But until one day, they saw an Arab who gave another guy. One guy gave another guy a ride on his camel, and he said, take your Yehov and throw it up on my camel. So then they realized that the word Yehov means a package, means a bundle. So where's the Masoira there? From an Arab. From an Arab. So you see that he can be construct. So obviously they didn't have a jastro. It's not a shot that the sheet that you're not allowed to use a dictionary. How can you say that? Yeah, because the pasuk says, the pasuk doesn't give you any simonim. By fish it gives you simonim, snap of the kaskesis. And by behemoth, the hairy gives you simonim. Malagerim af is parsa. And by birds, there are no simonim. It goes by the names. This bird, that bird, that bird, up, and the scrape, and everything else is kosher. So you have to know all the names of the non-kosher. You have to know exactly which bird is kosher, which bird is kosher. There's no simonim in the chumash. The Gemara has simonim. But the chumash doesn't give any simonim. So that's why the Gemara says, Zolf is nechal b'masar. That's why by fish you don't need a master. That when he heard that Arabs call rice oilers arose, but that was Poshid the Machlokes by him. How can you consider that the Machlokes Rashi and Tosis, whether rice is oil, whether rice is Tosis? You ask any guy in Eretz Yisrael, they'll tell you that oil is rice. So, I rock the sofa.
Why
is
the
song now called
the
Torah?
Why
doesn't
Rashi
have the Simonim for Ophel? I don't know. I don't think the Gemara's Simonim are on the Gela Lofa. Says that we have figured out biologically a sara shava between all the kosher birds, but it's not Magia Ladina. So he may eat it even though it's not Masera. Could be, I don't know. I don't remember. It's a very complicated Gemara. Sugi of Nesher is a very famous, complicated sugi in the middle of Eilat Beis, along Balamora there. Now no one ever learns that part. No one ever learns Sugi of Nesher. What's enough to mean? But years ago, they had in Hebrew literature that the Api person used to write. In Hebrew literature, from the Maskil, they write about the way they learned in Ishi, Sugi of Nesher, and every day took Fulham on Nesher, day after day, and kept on giving. Now no one ever heard this Sugya Nesha. No one, even Yeshivas when you learn, yeah, go to a drash. Don't even look who looks in the Balamor. Who looks in the Kaisi. Let's get into it. The Sukkim in the end of Shmini speak about being terrible things in the Nikvah. And it's Tommy until Hirev Shemesh. Vah Shemesh Vitoher. So the Ramban points out, Yitmar Ho'er. Says many times, Yitmar Ho'er. Tommy Ah Ho'er Vitoher. So the Ramban points out several, and he points out all of these psukim are speaking obviously about Shulman and about Tochen. It's not speaking about Chulman, because for Chulman there's no need for higher Shemesh. This is only needed for Shulman and Tochen. What do you mean Tochen? Tochen means to eat Korbanos or to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. So Chul Yom means that he went to the Mikdash, he didn't have higher Shemesh yet. He's neither permitted to eat Korbanos in Yerushalayim nor permitted to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. What about the Chul Yom entering into the Har HaBayit? It's name who are prohibited from entering into the Har HaBayit, namely Mishatumi Yetzi Olami Gufoi. What if he went to Mikveh and he didn't have Har HaShemesh yet? So is he committed to enter into the Harabais or not? So the Abnei Nezer has a tshuva where he shows that it's a spirit between two tesis, in two different masif. One is in shuva, so I forgot already where we are. A spirit in two tesis, and goes into Machlokes HaRishayim. And he passes la halacha l'kula. It's strange, he passes la halacha, and a shayla that's not going to give his man a day. He passes la halacha l'kula. The Mishatuma Yotze Olam Yigufay, it will be tevel in a mikveh, even if he won't have higher shem, it will be permitted to enter into the habayis. In his days it wasn't again, nowadays it's magia. Israeli soldiers will have to go on the harabayis to stand their guard. So those who are not from Don Eskene Shalom, those are from Eskene Shalom, so they tell them that they should be tevel before they go, because Atami is prohibited to enter into the habayis. So let them be tevel, so they won't be tamid. So the question is it matzik if they tevel that day? Go to the mikveh then and go into Harabai, so that it has to be tabled the day before in order to have Harishem. So that Abnei is Negeah now. The last 20 years that Abnei is Negeah. When the Truma soldiers have to go onto the Harabai to stand guard, so they need Harishem or not. But Abnei is Mekor, and others say, why should you be Mekor? It's 2 days in Pesach, Shana and Din Derech. If a paradumi you need, in order to, a Tommy makes is prohibited to enter into the Makam Amitosh, into the Azara. Then a Torah, a Tommy makes is permitted to enter into the Harabais. In the Rabbanon, he's prohibited from entering most of the Harabais. In the Rabbanon, but the Hajj can rent. He has to go if it's for security purposes, that's the Krakna. No, better take off the Isha Deraisa. Tommy, Tuma Yotzol and Migufa is an Isha Deraisa to go into the Harabais. But Tommy makes his only option to Rabbana to go into the innermost part of the Harabais. The outer section of the Harabais is permitted to go. And the inner section of the Harabais is often the Rabbana to go. So let him touch to go table in the mixer in order to remove the Isha Deraisa of the Tuma Yotzol and Migufa entering into the Harabais. The Isha Rabbana of Tommy makes it get rid of. We have no way for foresters. So that there's no way to avoid. So that he said, cross map and he's there. I have no
idea.
So that you can ha- oh, you mean you should have higher shemesh just in case we'll have to go onto the Azara. Okay. In order to go onto the Azara, you certainly need higher shemesh. So in other words, that Easter of entering into the Azara, Ben Komako, we won't be able to avoid. So we're not going to be able to stop that time. So that's the cross message. But as far as the prohibition of just entering Harabai is, for that's the shaila, whether you need higher shemesh or not. There are two types of tefillas. The person says, "Ach mein, a bar mitzvah mein, yili yatohar." Means if you're tevil, if a person is tummy or a kli is tummy, the only things that tefillah helps in a mitzvah for are adam and kelim. The only four things in the world that are makabel tumah: adam and kelim, ochel and mashkim. So ochel and mashkim have no tara in mitzvah. The only thing that has tara in mitzvah is mayim. And Rashi always points out in the Gemara that mayim has tara in mitzvah is a different din. It's not that it has tara in mitzvah; it's a din of hashok, it's a din of zri, it's a different halacha. The Gemara says himself, and if I have potatoes that are coming, and I plant them in the ground, and it grows, I have chitim that are coming, I plant them, so once it starts growing, once it takes root, once it has ria, so it's automatically tar. So Rashi explains that that's what Hashok is all about. If you have water, and the water is in a puddle on the ground, so it's considered as if it's mechuba b'karka. Lakes are considered lakes, rivers, streams are considered mechuba l'karka, oceans are considered mechuba l'karka, even though it's not really a vegetable that's attached, that's growing in the ground. So Rashi says that's the holy state adin of Hashoka, that if you have mayim that are tomei, and you connect them and you pour them into a mikveh, it's not that the water becomes tohar al yidei tefillah b'mikveh. Oichel u'mashkim have no tefillah b'mikveh. So then Hashoka is adin amzri, it's considered as if you planted it in the ground, that's how it becomes tar. So the only two things, from the four things that are Mekabal Tumah, from the whole wide world, Adam and Kalim, Rachel and Mashim, the only two that have tar in the Mitzvah are Adam and Kalim. So the Adam and Kalim that are Tumah, you can either be tevel in a Mayon, or you can be tevel then in a Bar Mitzvah Mayon, either in a Mayon or in a Mitzvah. You have a choice. There are differences, and it's nice having the course, there are differences between a Mayon and a Mitzvah. A Mitzvah is not Mitzahir B'Zochlin. If the water is rolling, mitzvah means megashamim. So if you have a mitzvah of megashamim, it's not mitahir b'zochlin while it's rolling. It has to be sitting there as borim. As borim is milosh and shevem. It says it's alright. You have to have a crack in the ground. It has to be sitting there in the crack in the ground, stagnant in the water. If it's in motion, then it's no good. If you travel in the mitzvah and it's splashing around, you're jumping up and down in the mitzvah, and the water is rolling around within the confines of the mitzvah, so that's okay. because it has a limit where it's going to go. But if the water is rolling avet, goodbye, it's not going to come back again. It's rolling away, it's not going to come back. So that's called zechlin. And the mitzvah is not mitzvah bezochlin. Parshas is that that's a din derais. And the mitzvah is not mitzvah bezochlin, it's a din derais. And a mayon is mitzvah bezochlin. That's the definition of a mayon. Mayon means that the source of the water is from under the ground. And it comes up and it's flowing, a flowing stream, so it's mitzvah bezochlin. And the Mishnah has it, there's another difference between a mitzvah and a mayon. That a mitzvah requires avoyim so, and a mayon does not require avoyim so. A mitzvah requires avoyim so. The Gemara says in Sochim, I mean, I tell you, a mitzvah for tefillah tefillah is good enough with the reviews. It's only with the Rabbanan that you need avoyim so. The Gemara says, Nazir, the tiflu, they will mevatel that reviews. The Gemara Nazir lifts up all the dinim that depend on reviews. Then the Gemara asks, why didn't they mention also the thing that a mikveh is revius? So the Gemara says, b'klu hu l'reviyasa b'mikveh. They're mevatlat midrabbanon, and you always need a avoyim so for a mikveh, even for tefillah tefillah. But a mayon, they were never mevatl, because by mayon, the thing is that you don't need a avoyim so for tefillah tefillah. But for tefillah sodom, you do. For tefillah sodom and a mayon, you do need a avoyim so. Whether the tefillah sodom and a mayon needs avoyim so or not. Trust me that you do. An interesting machlokes. What's the din of avoyim so? Whether avoyim so is a shear in the mikveh? Why is it that the tefillah tehillim is enough for revius? And the tefillah sodom you need avoyim so. Is it that the two mikvahs are to din? Is the mikvah of revius and the mikvah of avoyim so? The tefillah tehillim is enough for revius, so the three can fit into a revius. A needle. This has a needle became common. You want to be tied to the mikveh, so all you need is a reviyus. If you have a big pot that came from there, a big pot to cook the cholenton, so you can't, a gigantic pot from the cafeteria, so you can't be tied to a reviyus, obviously, you don't need more than a reviyus. You won't need avoyim so either, you just need as much more than a reviyus is needed in order to fit the pot into the water. So the Rishonim have a dispute, why is the halacha like that? I mean, a mikveh for tefillas tehillim is enough with the revius, and for tefillas sodom you need avoyim so. Is it that there's a mikveh of a revius and a mikveh of avoyim so, two different mikvahs, and this is for sodom and this is for tehillim? Or should I say there's only one mikveh begin, a mikveh of a revius, but for tefillas sodom the halacha requires mayim shekol gufo ba'ol ba'em v'vasachas. That the whole body should be submerged under the water of v'vasachas. The Shia Ruch HaChamin, and the HaChamin said by an average sized person, you will require a arboim saw to accomplish mayim shekol gufo ba'ol ba'em. So that's the shaila. If the shear of arboim saw is because that's a shear of mayim shekol gufo ba'ol ba'em, then it's been in the ma'aseh tefillas adam. So tefillas adam needs arboim saw. So if an order is tefillah in the mayim, he'll also need arboim saw. Otherwise, the whole body will not be submerged under the water of Asaha. But if you say that it's not a shear in the ma'aseh tefillas adam, it's a shear in the chetz of the mikveh, so then there's a mokum to argue the point and say that that shear of avoyim so is only needed for a mikveh, but not for a mayon. You can say a mayon doesn't need avoyim so for tefillah sodom. The machlok is mirishana. We pass in meha shiloach aholchim liyat. Where's that pasuk? Meha shiloach aholchim liyat. It's in Yeshaya. So shiloach was what? A mayon. The mayon. And the word la'at is a gematria, lamed aleph ter. But I draw, not a balaturim. Mea shiloch ha'ochem liyat is ha'goh, and so. So you see that the mea shiloch also needs liyat, also needs avoy and so. Arayi the tere shirayi, ha'pasit in shayin. That you need avoy and so for tzulas, odam in a mayor. The Rajva, the first page in Hilchas Mikvos, in the Torah Sabayis, quotes this machloikis in the Rishonim from the Bali Yafetim. It goes to the Tere Shiraya, Mea Shiloh HaHochim Liyat. But you see that you need Avoyim So for Tzila Son. That's a big issue in the Mishnayim also. There's a Miriam Asecha Shabbos in Perek Shmona Shrotzen, I think. And there's a famous, it's not famous in the Miri, because the Miri wasn't printed until recently. And there's a Shuvas HaRivash, that the Vilna Gaon makes famous. Many people don't read the Shuvas HaRivash, but the Bir Advan Yeridei they do read. So the Bir Advan Yeridei quotes from the Shuvas HaRivash, he says the same as this Meiri, that the reason why a Mayon doesn't need Avoyim Soh is Hava HaTayi, these two nafkaminas between a Mikvah and a Mayon. That a Mikvah needs Avoyim Soh, and a Mikvah is Bon, and a Mayon doesn't need Avoyim Soh, Zephon is good. And you don't need Avoyim Soh, it's Hava HaTayi. Not that a Mayon doesn't need Avoyim Soh. A Mayon always has Avoyim Soh. Why? Because what you said, where are you going to have the Avoyim Soh? It keeps on flowing. So the answer is, all the water is in Tzuruf Yachad, in a Mikvah. The good thing in Mikvah Namayin is where did the water come from? Mikvah means make shama or make shlogim. Hapsharas may hapsharas shlogim. Snow that melted or rain that came down from the heaven. So the may be shamim or may shlogim have to be metaradakir, the ashborin. So that ashborin, that shever in the ground, has to have aboyim storm. And if it's going to be rolling, it's going to be zochlin, it's not a kosher in Mikvah. So it's not a kosher mikveh, you can't be mitzaref it together. But a mayon, since even when it's moving, it does have a shem mayon, it is mitzaref while it's moving. So you can be mitzaref all the water from the beginning of the river till the end of the river, if provided that the source of the river is from under the ground sources, comes from the ocean, from under the ground, as opposed to the rainwater. There's always going to be a little bit of rainwater in. How do you have a river that doesn't have any rainwater? So the Gemara says that it goes by the right. The Gemara in the Dom says. If the Mishnah Mikvah says like that, if the robe of the water in this river is from rain, then I treat it as a mikveh, and then it's no good bezerchon. If the robe of the water is from under the ground sources, then I treat it as a mayon, and it is good bezerchon. So whatever the robe of the water in the mikveh, how can you figure that out? How do you have Ruach HaKodesh to figure out? You have to have radioactive isotopes in the rain. How are you going to figure that out? So the Gemara figures that out from Teva. How do you figure that out? Where the robe of any given river is from rainwater from under the ground source. If the rope of the water is from under the ground, and the din is then that Zochman is good, so all of the river is Mitzuref, what's all the way over there, what's all the way down there, so you're always going to have Mitzuref. That's how the Vilna Gaon quotes in the name of the Rizal. Yeah, is that always so? Is that always so? Not all of Rishonim agree to that. Even Moshe has a tshuva about that. We'll look at this. Not all of Rishonim agree that this is held the whole talmud, that the word is that the Mayan always has Mitzuref. That a mikveh has to have mentor, a mayan has to have mentor, but it always has mentor because it's mitzuref by the zerfon. Since zerfon is good, it's mitzuref. You see, we can't accept this shita. Aloha mayan, we can't accept this shita at all for the simple reason. Many years ago, Rabbi Rudiman asked Rav Moshe Feinstein a kasha in the name of one of his outstanding talmidim, Rabbi Nachum Rabinowitz, who's now in Eretz Yisrael, in Malei Adumim. So he asked him a kasha. That what do you do when you have a mikveh? You fill up the mikveh with rainwater. You turn on the faucet. You fill up the mikveh with regular city water, tap water. So we're always cautious that the water from the tap is mayim shuvim. That it goes through so many pipes. We're always cautious that maybe some of the pipes had a base kibul, and the water was sitting there for a moment in the container, and it became mayim shuvim. So we assume that all the water is no good. There was a rabbi years ago, Rabbi Miller. Who was a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim, and printed a book, How Do You Make a Mikveh in Your Own Backyard, and one easy lesson, and he explains that the water that comes from the tap is not Mayim Shuvim, and this is the good, and that is good, and tells you how much the Avoyim Soh is, and 1, 2, 3, okay, make yourself your own mikveh. Okay. I don't know, maybe the Shas HaTzchak, if the person doesn't have any dirt, maybe can you make it like that, but we're not, we spend $750,000 not to be made so, like he wrote in his book. His books have Haskamas, Mahari S. Truman, many people. No, he was a big tzaddik, but it has funny, he got a letter from Harry Truman approving of his book on Hilchos Taras HaMishpacha. So, he used to send out the book for nothing, whoever wanted to send out. And there was a foundation to send out the book for nothing, years and years. The two books, The Secret of the Jew, no? He sent it out for nothing. Now they ran out of books. They ran out of money, they ran out of books. So the kasha that Rabbi Rabinowitz asked was as follows. When you fill up a mikveh with the tap water, so we're choshish that that's considered manshim. So what do you do? You have to have a hashokah. So how exactly do you do hashokah? So what they do in many places is that they have a mikveh with kosher water that they collected from rainwater that's sitting there for a long time. Sometimes they change it every couple of months, sometimes they don't change it for 50 years. It smells awful. But you have, but then you're not tangled on that mikvah. That's the real kasher mikvah. And then you make a hashoka between that mikvah and this mikvah. Fine, that's not a problem. But then sometimes they make a fancy hashoka whereby they have water flowing from the kasher mikvah into the pasul mikvah, into the mikvah that has mayim shum. So if water is flowing, so then you have a problem of zeichun. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch that when water is the kasher mikvah has water going out of it. What's the din if I have a very deep bore that has 150 saw? The minimum for the mikvah is our boiling saw. What if you have a mikvah that has 100,000 saw? And then you have a hole on top of the mikvah and you keep on filling it up with water and the water reaches that point of the hole. The water starts to flow out of the hole. But you still have 150 million, trillion, zillion saw below the hole. But the Rambam is machmir that that's called my zochon. Even though you travel on the bottom, there are different sheikhs. Even if you travel on top, like the mikvah is so tall and there's a hole over here, and I'm travel above the hole, but that I can understand. That I can understand that if you leave the mikvah the way it is, all the water is going to drain out up until the bottom of the hole. So I could have understood that up until the bottom of the hole is zochon, and from the bottom of the hole below is not zochon. So that's one sheet. The other sheet is the Ramah is marking even below the hole. It's called zochon. Since it's all one big mix, and the top is zochon, so even the bottom is also no good. And the Ikaradin, we really hold that even the top is kosher. But if you travel on the top, but yeah, that even that would be kosher. Because since the bottom is not zochon, even the top, which is zochon, is mechubah to the bottom mix, and everything is good. All three possibilities. So the shadow was like this: if the Ramah is machmir lahatzilah, the tree, even the bottom of the mikvah that's below the bottom of the hole, as zochlin, because the top water is going to be draining out through this hole. So how do we ever do a hashofa like that? You have a kosher mikvah that's filling out from the shayin kabaniyah, and then you turn on the faucet in the kosher mikvah, so more water goes in there, and it starts flowing out of the hole into the other mikvah. And this water connects with the mikvah in there, but this mikvah is now possible because it's a zechlin. So how can you make a hashokah? How can you make a hashokah with the other mikveh to this mikveh? If this mikveh is possible right now, that was Adkan Tarchan Akusha. That was the kasha that Rabbi Rudiman asked by Moshe Feinstein 50 years ago in the name of his star talented Nachman Rabinowitz. So Moshe Feinstein says, I don't understand. What did you say such a star student? What kind of a kasha? It says the Ferish and the Mishnah. That is kasha. What do you want? The Mishnah says that it's kasha. It's the Mishnah and the Rashi and the here and there. There's the Ferish and there's no kasha. Okay, so the din is that it's kosher. The question is, how come though? What happened to the din of zeichman? Obviously the answer is that zeichman is just a din. Zeichman is a din. If I'm tevil and a mikvah that zeichman, my tevil is no good. But there's no din that a mikvah that zeichman is not called a mikvah. See, Rabbi Rabinowitz is kasher that he asked is based on a premise that in the yeshivas everybody says. Why is zeichman no good for a mikveh? Because the word mikveh by definition means kovah v'kayim. Well, the mikveh hamayim for a yamin, and the word mikveh means kovah v'kayim. Rabbi Chumash, I think, says that. But the word mikveh by definition means kovah v'kayim. It's an Aramaic word that means that this water is stagnant. So if the water is flowing, the water is zeichman, so by definition it doesn't have a shein mikveh. That's what the word mikveh is all about. Mikveh means kovah v'kayim, that is standing still. So the zeichman does not have a shein mikveh at all. So if the Rambam says that even if the a deep mikveh, and below the hole has way more than them, so still, since above the hole is going to flow out through the hole, so even the part below the hole is also called Zeichlin, so the whole thing is called Zeichlin, and there's no shame mikvah at all. Where is Zeichlin? So how can you make a hashaka between a kosher and mikvah and a possible mikvah? If the kosher mikvah is not called a mikvah, it's not a kosher mikvah. So the Moshe answered that the whole yeshiva charade is wrong. That we said that Zeichlin is no good in the mikvah, he doesn't give any explanation. He just said, it says to the Mishnah that it's good, I don't know what's bothering you. It's a Mishnah, a preceptor. Says the Pharisee that it's good. That's what Moshe always says. No, the Pharisee is in, that's all. But what's the Hezber Adam? So the Hezber is that the Yeshiva Shereid is wrong. That the Chitoron of Zeichlin is not that whenever Zeichlin doesn't have a Shein Mikvah, it has a Shein Mikvah, but it's a Dinan. Tzvilas Adam. The Maisat Tzvilah. Just like there's a Din, you can't be Tevil HaChatzor, you can't be Tevil half of the body at a time. So there's also a din, you can't be careful in a mikveh at the time that it's zeichel, but it doesn't mean that the mikveh while it's zeichel doesn't have a shame mikveh. It has a shame mikveh, it's a kosher mikveh, wonderful, marvelous, but you can't do a ma'aseh tefillin at that time. Like Moshe Lamad David, it's a perfectly good mikveh, and I only dip in half of my body. So it's no good. Why is it no good? But it's a kosher mikveh. It's a kosher mikveh. You didn't do a ma'aseh tefillin? So even if I submerge the entire body under the water, but the water is in motion, the water is in movement, it's considered as if I didn't do Zeichlin is a chisoin and a maisa hatfilu, but it's not a chisoin and a chepsel and a chisoin and a maisa hatfilu. So once you assume like that, a zechlin is a chisarin in the maisa hatvila. It's not a chisarin in the chesed mikveh. So why should there be a din that? Why should there be a din that? Let's say if you have two mikvot and each mikvah only has 20 saw. So that's not good. A mikvah has to have, for certain purposes, a mikvah has to have avoyim saw. Even if the person is a midget, if they're little babies, can fit into 20 saw. There's a machlokes in Ashrayim, whether it's a din d'oraisa, that you always need avoyim saw, even if it's a baby, or it's only a din d'rabbanan. And Ruba hold that it's really a din d'oraisa. It's very shred to say that it's only the rabban. The pashtus is the avoyim saw. There's a whole literature on this. Ashrayim collected all the pieces. The pashtus is the avoyim saw is always a need. And they're right, so even if it's a little baby or a tiny midget, then you can fit into way less than Rabban Saw. You assume that Rabban Saw is within the rest. If you have two mikvahs, each of which only has 20 saw, so you can't be terrible in this, you can't be terrible in that. Even if you're terrible in this one, then you're terrible in that one, it's also no good. Because you have to have Rabban Saw of Asan. But what if you have two mikvahs, each one has 20 saw, and there are two different levels of a mountain? Here there's 20 saw, and here there's 20 saw. And then it starts to rain or something, or the snow starts to melt. And then there's a flow of water that's connecting the 20 saw on top of the 20 saw on the bottom. So there's a continuation of water. Here there's a puddle of water 20 saw, and water flowing down the side of the mountain. And then another puddle of 20 saw. And altogether you have well over 40 saw. But the thing that's connecting the two mitzvahs of less than 20 saw is water that's in motion. So that's the Gemara and Gitman in the second parish, and it's nice and it's voice. Ain't achibur. That's what it means. That's not the katavis means. When the water is flowing down the side of the mountain, that's not mechaber to mikvot, because it's in motion. Some interpret that the need might not be for katavis and achibur because it's only achibur if the things are connected side by side. But if one is connected one on top of the other, then it's no good. It's not a chedit between stationary water, stagnant water, as opposed to moving water. It's rather a chilek between zeh agabi zeh or zeh b'tzad zeh, zeh till zeh. That's what it sounds like in the plane. Shu over there. And that's what the Divrei Chaim has a chumra, that you can't make a hashok and zeh agabi zeh. And that's generally not assumed. You assume that it's 100% wrong. You assume that it's not correct. So some are machma like that, that you can't have a hashok and zeh agabi zeh. But the Baal HaShem and Tish, you should always have that to zeh agabi zeh. That's how the Baal HaTanya describes in the end of the Shulchan Aruch the other day, in the Shulchan Aruch Aram. How to make a mitzvah one easy lesson. So he describes, you make a bottom board and you put a board of wood, you make a little hole in the middle, then you have the top mikveh, and then you change the water on top. So if you have a hashok, it's all got to be there. The top mikveh is shuvim, and the bottom mikveh is a kosher water from shayfis and egracious. And you can make a hashok from one on top of the other. The point of this shot of the Peninsula, it seems to be the guy from the Rashi and the Divrei Chaim, that would be no good. He holds that you have to have a hashok, adopt his eggs, and not zeh agabi zeh. But that's not the generally accepted shot. Yerushalayim has a few other strange things often open to report, but they're not generally accepted. So the pashtus says that nasik v'katav zayin achib is not because it's a zeh agabi zeh hashok. It doesn't matter whether zeh agabi zeh is. Every time that's not the problem. The issue is it moving or is it stationary? So in the eighth time should I say that the moving water is no good to make a hashok? So in the yeshivish world, you say simple pshat. Mikveh. Mikveh means cover the tiny, by definition. If it's moving, it doesn't have a shame mikveh. So what, you have to have one mikvah of 40 saw. So if you have 20 saw on top of one plateau, 20 saw on the lower level. So each one is no good. Then you have water flowing. The water that's flowing doesn't have a shame mikvah. So you have half here, and in between has no shame mikvah. So it's no good. So that's the way they say in yeshivas all the time. When the water is moving, it doesn't have a shame mikvah. So you don't have a solid connection between the two units of the 20 and 20. So the thing in the middle doesn't have a shame mikvah. So that's all be partial. If you say like that, if you say like the way they say in the yeshivas, then you understand why it's no good. Not because Tachra is saying a chibur. But and then you can understand like the Rivosh and like the Miri also, that by the Mayon, you always have the Abba in store, because it's always earthly. So everything is earthly and it still has the Shem Mayon. So everything is mature from the beginning to the end. Everything is mature, so you're always going to have the Abba in store, so you play with an Abba in store. As anything by the mikveh has to have avoyim saw and mikveh shborim. So if you don't have avoyim saw and mikveh shborim, it doesn't help what's on the outside. So they both need avoyim saw. That shot that the Rivosh has, and that the Miri has, and that the Gomer Gaon quoted from the name of the Tshuva of Rivosh, that's good the way they say in the other my yeshivas. That's good with the yeshivish array. That's what Nachman Binowitz said, the Yaldusai. But Amoshe said, nice settle, nice yeshiva shirek, but it's against the din. The halacha is that it's not so. If you can make a hashoke, even though the mitzvah is zochlen, the halacha says, nothing with hatafis ain't a chibur. It means if you have 20 saw on top, 20 saw on bottom, the mechaba canopy are not such a chatavis. But that's not the core. You should not say that the reason why is because the water as it's flowing, if it's not stationary, lacks a shame mitzvah. It's a lot of hope, it's a lot of evidence. The water as it's flowing would have a shame mitzvah. Vaharai that we make a hashoka from a flowing mitzvah to a puzzling mitzvah, and it's a kosher hashoka. It's just a halacha that when the mitzvah is flowing, there's no maisa tfilah. Maisa tfilah is puzzle. And there's another halacha while the mitzvah is flowing. It's no good for machabers on purposes. Not for katav sein achiba. But it's not because it doesn't have a shame mitzvah. Isn't there a din not for katav sein achiba? It goes like this also. Let's say I have a cup of water on the table, and I'm tumming. I stick my finger into the water. So the din is, it becomes tumming. So how much of the water becomes tumming? All the water becomes tumming. Let's say you have an Italian bread. Long, skinny Italian bread goes from here to here. And I'm another tumming, and I touch one end. So if I would have sliced it, how big can a slice be? If it slices, that slice. That is slice. How big can you make? So if I touch this end of the Italian bread, so how much becomes tummy? The whole bread from one end to the other. That's halacha. Magalim mitzosa, kemagal v'kula. If it's one unit, the whole thing becomes tummy. So what happens in Mishnah? Let's say on the table, somebody took a cup of water and he's rolling the water from one end to the other. Or let's say the table is on a tilt. Not only mechuba l'karka. The table is on a tilt and someone is pouring water down the table. And I touch part of the water. So the halacha says that only the mokum makor becomes tummy. The rest of it does not become tummy because nothing is not tummy. Same with chibur. That has nothing to do with that. Shein mikveh, dishkin shein mikveh. It's not talking about a mikveh. The halacha is that nothing because tummy same with chibur. Lo betulah v'lo letara. Has nothing to do with the fact. You shouldn't make a common denominator. In shivas, we learn, try to take all the little bits and pieces, put them together, and blend them together. If you take apples and potatoes, you can't mix it together. You have to make sure that you're putting things together that are correct, that they belong together. So the yeshivas we put together, oh, mikveh, kolav v'kaimi, the Ramban says, kolav v'kaimi, as boren, it's not good zeichler. We put that together with the din of zeichler, we put together with our lach, and I'm not saying it's not the same thing. So that's what Moshe says, that they're not supposed to be put together. They're unrelated din. Ein achiva, they're lachod, ein achiva. And zeichler is not good as a din, and that the tefillah is not good, but the mikveh that zeichler is a good mikveh. So we really don't accept this Shita Sarivash Vahamiri Vahadra. We don't really accept like that. We don't say that the reason why a Mayan doesn't need Aboim So is because you always have Aboim So. Because since Zechon is good, that means that even while Zechon has a shame, Mayan has a shame, Mayan, everything is Mitzur. No. It's not Mitzurim. A Natsiv HaKatavis is still in a Chiba. It's still no good. The halacha is that you don't need a Shia from mine. Not that you always have a Shia. The halacha is that you don't need a Shia.
Jumps up
like this.
And then
that's
just
done. So the Ramban Hilchos Mikvah is posting tomorrow in the end of Chagiga that while it's flying in the air, you can't be tight. You can only be tight left and then ain't tight to keep it. Tomorrow has the ocean also. Waves fly up from the ocean. Sometimes it's a keeper. Keeper means that it's up in the air and it's not touching the ground. So Tosman is flowing on the ground and you can be tight over there. Flies in the air, ain't feel about here. But when it lands back on the ground, then you can't be tight.
You also didn't like that too. You want to make the
full
heart, you're on the ground,
you're waiting for the water. And then it's all about me.
I'm
falling on
you.
Yeah.
You need the water above
it
to make them stop.
Yeah.
I
was supposed to say, you need the water. If I hold the cleat like this and I know that it's going to go like that, so that's no good. This guy's over there. I know it's going to shoot like this. Or a wave from the ocean is going to fly up. I'm going to hold the cleat up maybe in the air like this, so that's no good. I feel about it. But if I put it on the ground and this will land on it, so then it will be good.
Even though I don't wait for the voice of the voice on the cup. In other words, the voice of part of it is in the air. You know, the voice of also in my sense, we were not a big man. That water would be good. It's just that it's not good for that. I put it on the ground, it's up on the ground.
Yeah.
Now, the fish puts the water, hits that cup, and it's all the way. I don't want to make that into a bowl on the cup. Thank you. So the mefsar includes the water in the air.
Yeah,
okay.
The shaila is like this. What if a wave detached itself from the ocean, and I see that the whole wave that detached doesn't have 40 storms? Well, that's inverted. So the Raman has a chiddush that that's no good. Now, Chaim has a whole stickle terror on that. Why is it no good? Every year somebody prints a stickle terror in one of the terror journals. Why is it no good? Oh, yes, it's not like that
Chaim. What's the
it's not
no longer
Maya.
It's connected.
But it could be Rechman. Until the tide is open, the water that keeps on flowing.
What? It's no longer Maya. What is
there
the
is a Maya. Well, why is the tide is open?
What is it? Well, it's continuous.
Even after it's not completely gone. But a wave flies up in the air, detached from the ocean, and then it flies down on the ground. It tells me that it's obvious, and I want to put it in mind.
But what about the case where that it's continuous?
In fact, even if it's not continuous, still good. Still the tire, even though it's very clean. But it has to have our brain still.
Well, cases
where
the ground sequence is detached.
Yes.
The wave is detached. And that would have it to the Maya.
So the gay has a very plain has it in mind. The gay top line, so you need that one. So that's the question. What kind of an underregulus is that? The Mishnah has two people between the Mishnah and Mayan. And a Mayan, and Zerklin is good, and you don't need that one. So if I come over here, and Zerklin is good, and you do need that one. So if you would have said like the reverse. Yeah, you would have said like the reverse, it would have been wonderful, but we don't assume like the reverse.
No, that's what
we can
say now. The Zerklin is in the Mikvah. So it's a problem, it's not a dynamic, it's a thin, in my tefillah. So therefore, the problem is open, this would be a case of nothing to happen, that the wave has broken off, it's like water falling down. So it would be, so the person's problem on the bottom. You said...
No, so other meaning that way, so let's make a statement. The Kalim means we don't need our boy so by a Mayon, and here the Rambam seems to know that you need our boy
so. So it's not a Mayon. So let's say you think, what's the problem with Zofman?
Zofman.
The problem is when you said it's a problem.
There's a case where I say when the wave detached from the ocean and it keeps on rolling on the ground on the beach for a few yards, so I say that wave that's flowing on the beach has the cooler of Mayon, that's open and good, but it doesn't have the other cooler, namely that you don't need Memsah. There you would need Memsah. That's what I'm trying to say, that tries to figure out what's going on. You have Mishnahs like that. You have a Mishnah in the reverse case, that sometimes you require a Boren, and you don't need Abba Yisro. And here the Rambam has a case, you do need Abba Yisro, and you don't need a Boren. So I can't try to explain what the Rambam means. Morin Zrochem Adab Kofhei Darshans from this Pasuk Adin, you have so many Mishnahis and Mikvores, and it never says the Pharisees to the Din. After you know the Gemara, you can look back and reinterpret some Mishnahis as referring to the Din, but it never says black and white that this is the Din. The Gemara Darshi, Yiyya Tohar, is referring to the construction of a mikvah. That you have to have Halayosa Yodei Tahara. That, how does the rainwater go from the sky into the mikvah? It just rains and it flows into the mikvah, but the mikvah is inside a building. It's not, so if you have years ago, mikvah was simple. When you go to the mountains, when you go to the country, when it rains, you have a big puddle in the middle of the street. That's the mikvah. So that's as simple as all that. You have a mikvah in the middle of the street. What if you have a mikvah in the basement of the building? So how's the rainwater going to get from the sky and to the basement of the building? So if you take the rainwater and you carry it in a bucket and you pour it in, so since the bucket is a double hamakabal tuma, so we learn up in the pasuk that that's no good. Achmai aboy mitzvah man yihye tahor havayosa shal hamikvah hamikvah yaridei tahara. If it's havayosa yidei dover hamakabal tumah, not only if the bucket already is tumah, even if the bucket is not tumah, but if it's dover hamakabal tumah, so that's a psul deraisa for a mitzvah. In Mori, in the end of Pesachim, and other places, Darshan and Pesach, Bamayim Yuvah, says a lot of times, Bamayim, instead of Bimayim, with a shvua, it says Bamayim, with a pata, Bimayim means Bahamayim, how you do it. What's the mayim? How you do it? So the Rashbam comments in our Sof, Ba mayim, how you do it? Refers to prat l'shuvim. That mayim shuvim is no good. So that's a machlokes in the Rishonim and Baba Basri, whether mayim shuvim is a psul deraisa, psul derabanan. Means if it's kulo shov or rubo shov. If the majority of the mikveh shuvim, would it make a psul? If the mikveh has to be 40 saw, so if you have 21 saw. Is Shuvim,
then it's no good. Let's say if you have 21 saw a non-shuvim, and then you have 19 saw that are shuvim, then everybody would agree that that's not a psul deraisa. I'll be positive. It wouldn't be a psul deraisa. Because shuvim is, even if it's a psul deraisa, it's mikvah by the rove of the whole mikvah. If the rove of the whole mikvah is not shuvim, so it wouldn't be shuvim. Just the place it's rich, it has an obscure shita. He has a chiddush nifla, and he wants to say that ma'ayim shdimalu gemayim shuvim pasal the whole mikvah. Let's say I have a mikvah that doesn't yet have avoyim shuvim, according to dimalu gemayim shuvim. Then the Mishnah says the whole mikvah is no good. You have to drain out everything, fill the bottom, till you know that you no longer have dimalu gemayim shuvim, then you have to fill the whole thing all up mechadim. So he says that din, a dimalu gemayim shuvim pasal the mikvah, if the mikvah has failed, that's only Adin de Rabbanan, but that the Gimel Lugi Manshuv Manat Mitzaret and Imashlam Nimikri, he claims that that's Adin de Raisa. Even if you have 39 and a half saw, and you pour in a half a saw of Manshuv, and he holds that Menatarin, the Mikri is no good. It's not that it's a possible Mikri that you have to empty out the whole thing to the bottom. He says, but the Manshuv is not Mitzaret to the Imashlam Nimikri, he says that's Adin de Raisa. No one holds like that. And the Shulchan Aruch, that's completely ignored with it. They didn't have a Taisa Shri. What they have in Taisus, the Rina Rabbi Natan, the Taisus in Meruben, the Taisus in Amaycheres Abayis, I think, Mechas Aferis, in the middle of a broad bus, I think, Mechas Abayis. There's a Machlaikis in Taisus where the Rubashov is the rice of the Rabban. Kuloshov, Rubashov, that's a Machlaikis, that's Machlaikis in the Chabad and Ramot. Because the Mishnah, you say, whenever you have a suffix, Maim Shuvim, you go to Kula. Because Maim Shuvim is only an Issa de Rabban and Kala, it's only the Rabban, it's not a Din de Raisa. So the Shabbos, when is it the Rabban? Maybe it's the Raisa sometimes, and Machabad Pasu, no. My shum is always the rabbanan. It's never the right. Even kulashav, rubashav, you always go to kulam. And the rabbanan is machna like the other day in Pesach. That if it's rubashav or kulashav, it's still the raisa. So then you wouldn't say sofik my shum the kula. The only time you go to kula if it's rubo, kashur of the mikra, it's kosher. 21 so it's kosher or mine. But it's only a shadow of gimaluga my shum and the rest of it. So then you say that shum is only the rabbanan, so you can go to kula. So these are two different things. One din, my shum in parcels and mikra. That could be according to the Mechaber that that's only the Rabbanan. Mind Shuvim Pasos. And even according to the Ramah, that is the Raisa. It's only the Raisa. If it's the Ruba Shov, but if it's the Ruba Man Shov, then the New York Dean, Mind Shuvim, is only a Psul de Rabbanan. I say anything big, it's a different deal. Have a Yos, like the Dov, and Mechaber from is a different deal. And it's not the same thing. Shuvim means that it was contained in a bucket. Have a yosai de gavan makabel tume can even be if it's not contained in a bucket. Let's say I have a pshute clay matefet. I have a piece of have a blech. Let's say I have a blech that I use on Shabbat to put in between the pots and the fire. What if I hold water on the blech? Let's say it's raining outside and I want the rain to go to pour into the mixer, but the rain is outside and the mixer's over here. It's raining buckets and buckets of water in. So let's say I take this blech and I stick it out the window and the water goes straight from the rain and it flows right into the mikveh. So you can't call it Maim Shuvim. The blech doesn't have any base kippah, it doesn't contain any water, it's flat. But that's not Maim Shuvim, so there wouldn't be any problem. But there would still be a problem, because the blech is a pshuta clay matefet. And even a flat piece of nephilah is Mekabel Tumah. If you have a kliyeh, it's going to be become Mekabel Tumah if it has a toch. It has to have a base kippah. And if you have, let's say, a wooden spoon that you use for your Dixie cup, and it's flat. Even though it works. But it's not a Mekabel Tumah because it's a pshutik kliyeh. If you have, let's say, a big challah board, a big bread board that you cut your bread on, so then I tell it's also tall. But this is the beginning of Sukkah, Rafei, the Magen Avraham quotes that this says that it's Mekabel Tumah with the Rabbanan. Magen Avraham quotes in Hilchos Schach, that you're not allowed to use the Schach to Avraham Mekabel Tumah. Whether it's only the Kabbal Tumim in the Rabbanan or the Kabbal Tumim in the Torah. This is an example of Abraham Kabbal Tumim in the Rabbanan. A pshutik clay eight, which is rochav, which is very wide, and you can put things on it. But if you have the wooden flat spoon that you use for the Dixie cup, it's so tiny that's not a rochav. You can think, so that's not the Kabbal Tumim, not in the Torah, not in the Rabbanan. But if you have a pshutik clay matechet, if you have a flat piece of metal that you use for some purpose or another, so then it is the Kabbal Tumim in the Torah. So let's say if you would just stick your blech out the window so that the rainwater should flow from outside straight into the mikveh. So that's called Havayasai Gagala HaMekabel Tumah, and the mikveh would be Tosol Menatera, even though it's not Shuvim at all. These are two unrelated dinim. They're separate dinim. And you could have Maim Shuvim where it's not Havayasai Gagala HaMekabel Tumah. There are Kelim that are not Mekabel Tumah. Klei Adoma, Klei Glolim. What else? Klei Glolim, Klei Adoma, Klei Avonim. Klei Avonim, Klei Glolim, Klei Adoma. I'm not Mekabel Tumah at all. And the Mishnah says in the Mikvah, nevertheless, if it's Maim Shuvim, and it's the one in the first paragraph in Shabbos, Maim Shuvim is possible for the Mikvah, even if it's Klei Avadim, Klei Zlo, and Klei Adoma, because it's still shov, it was contained in a Klei, another Klei is a Dovah Shein, or Kabel Tumah. But it's a Klei from aluminum, an aluminum Klei. The Moshe Feinstein claims that other parts can hold it. Thank you, Tom Nitzchel, that aluminum is not from the Matzah, that's Mekabel Tumah. Unless they have plastic, and then he holds it. Plastic Klei, but not Mekabel Tumah. But still it's going to be mine children if it's inside the plastic Klei. So these are two unrelated dinim. There's one din habayos, I said, Dovah Mekabel Tumah, and there's another din of my Mr. Uvin. There's a way to rectify the Suva. The Gemara has there in Zvachim, the Chassam Sefer puts this, and it's true. It says that the Ferish in Gemara in Zvachim are not that, it's not hidden. The same place in Zvachim, that's for Taylor Day. So the Gemara has the Psul, but the Drasha from the Pasuk, the Gemara tells you that that Psul only applies if, let's say, I have the, here's the mikveh, here's the bar of the mikveh, and I have the glass sticking out the window. Here's the window right over here, and the water is bouncing down from the sky onto the bluff, and it rolls right into here, to the bottom of the bluff, and it pulls right into the bar. So then I say that that's how the outside the double hamakabatum because the bluff is mekabatum. What happens if I have it like this? The bluff is kicking out the window, and the water rolls like this, and then it rolls on the floor, and the floor is not going to collect enough water. And then it rolls on the floor until it falls into the bowl of the mikvah. Since the Gemara says, since it doesn't go directly from the Dovah HaMakabotunah and fall, the water doesn't fall directly from the Dovah HaMakabotunah into the bowl of the mikvah, there's no psul of Havayasai the Dovah HaMakabotunah. That's kosher. That's a Gemara. By Maim Shuvim, there is no such thing. But if I have buckets of water and I pour the water on the floor, so that it is, then it's no din of Maim Shuvim. There's no such halacha. There is a din that's slightly similar, but it's not the same. There's a din of Hamshochet. If you have Mayim Shuvim and you pour the water, Gimel Tzachem Agav Karka Haroya Livloya, and you pour the water not on top of tile, if you pour the water on top of concrete or on top of earth, on top of soft earth, so that's Karka Haroya Livloya to the distance of Gimel Tzachem and to the width of a tefra. That's how some Rishonim made on. Has to be to the width of a tefra, to the distance of Gimel Tzachem. That's called Hamshochet. So Hamshochet is Machshir Mayim Sheuvim. You have to say Mayim Sheuvim can be undone. Otherwise, by now, all the water in the world is going to be Mayim Sheuvim. The Baruch Hashem isn't creating new water every day. All the water in the world that we're using is from Sheishis Mebereishis. So since the days of Adam and Rishon, you should be safe in assuming that every drop of water has at one time or another been contained in a pot, in a bucket. Somebody held it in a bucket. So all the water should by now be the water cycle. So all the water in the world should already be Mayim Shuvim. So the Teretz is, there is some point where the Mayim Shuvim loses its soul. So the question is, when is that point? But you have to wait till it goes back into the clouds and it comes down again. You have to go wait so far. You do Hamshochet. It's considered the Yesh Me'ayin now. You pour the water, Rabbi Kaka, Roy Lebroy, Vimus Rokin. The Roy Kav Tetra, so then it's no longer considered Mayim Shuvim. There's a machlokes in the Mishnah, machlokes atanoim, in the Mishnah in Tmurim. At the end of the first paragraph in Tmurim. What about Shuvah Shimshikua Kula? What about Shuvah Shimshikua Kula? Not that I have a mikvah that has, let's say, 38 soa, and I'm waiting for more rain, and it doesn't rain. There's a drought. So take a couple of buckets of water, and I want to fill up the remaining two soa in the mikvah. So you can't do that. You're going to pour in gimalugim. It's very little. You're going to pour in gimalugim. How much is a loop? A loop is 6 days. Gimel Lubin is 18 days. Less than 2 dozen eggs. 18 days in the same room. If you're pouring Gimel Lubin, Mayim Shuvim, the volume of 18 days in the Mayim Shuvim already passes all me. So you can't do that. So then the thing would be that if I roll the water out, if I have a mikveh that only has 38 soa and it stopped raining and there's a drought, how am I going to be mashing the mikveh? So if you take a bucket of water that has the remaining 2 soa, and roll it on Rabbi Karka Roy Lavloya, Gimel Tzachim to the width of the pepper, and that makes it Ois Mayim Shuvim. And then when it falls into the mikveh, so it'll be Mashlim till 40 soh. So what happens if it doesn't rain at all? You live in the Sahara Desert. No rain at all, but you have a faucet. Why do I make a mikveh in the middle of the desert? And it's not going to rain, but I have a faucet, and I'm chashish that all the water that's going to come out of this faucet is going to be Mayim Shuvim, because the pipes may be constructed in such a way that they have a base kibble. So it's simple. So what's the problem? Take a bucket and pour the water on Rabbi Karka Roy Lavloya, and then make the whole thing. So that's a machlokes satan, whether that's legitimate. What about Shu'uvah? Shehim Shikhuah Kulah. I have Mayim Shuvim and I made Hamshochet, but the whole mikveh.